It's time for Live and Direct, thanks to NZ On Air Music. Good God!
Liam Bram performs as Lip Gloss Slumber Party and is one of the minds behind local label Tuba Techno, who just brought you a brand new compilation called Callisto. And it is kind of another notch in the belt of fantastic compilations that have been coming out for the last 4 or 5 years. Liam joins us in studio. Hello.
Hey.
Thank you so much for coming in. Maybe could we just dive on into questions about the compilation?
Sure.
Yeah. Again, a really interesting mix of different people. One thing I do notice about them is that lots of these people don't play live a lot. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, that sounds correct.
And why is that?
I think for a small number of them, they just, it's not their thing.
Yep.
They're purely producing in the bedroom. And then apart from that, it's just something that isn't being pushed very much. I just they haven't been asked, probably, to be honest. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So.
I mean, no hostility within that, but yeah.
Yeah. And so how did this collective come to be then?
It started off just as a group of people who were looking for motivation to continue to make music.
Yep.
Without a platform, really, or without the possibility of gigs or people listening to it. So we had a small set of us that were making a track every week and uploading it to a private SoundCloud thing that we just kind of kept our eyes on. And there were just some really good stuff on there. So some of us decided to put it together, put it on tape, put it out in the world.
Yes. Mm. How have the compilations changed either in sound or intent from, say, those earlier releases?
I think people have, there's definitely been a bit of a technical development, mainly. Like, at the early stages, people were just learning their instruments as such quite a bit. For good and bad. I mean, there's something magic about when you don't know what you're doing that those early tapes have, but these new ones are more proficient and in some ways interesting, maybe. And there's also, like, it reflects some kind of larger interest shift in people who are making beats, I think, underground. It's more techno, a little bit more everyday. Yeah.
I was going to say, what trends are... what trends were there initially to now,
I think at first maybe a little bit more house, a little bit more IDM-y kind of, definitely more melodic is something I've noticed. Like, melody's gone out of the way for texture, which is a big thing for techno, right? So yeah, that's probably the biggest shift. I could see.
And am I right in saying that, you know, the home base of Tuba Techno was Fuzzy Vibes?
Perhaps. Uh-huh. Only as far as that I was living there and running the space with other people at the time.
Mm.
And it just made sense because it was in town.
Yeah.
Outside of that, and we'd have our first shows there and stuff because we had the ability to do that. But apart from that, yeah, just like a convenience.
Yes. Yeah. And that space shut down a couple years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Has it impacted, or how has it impacted Tuba Techno and yourself?
Just another change in life.
Yeah.
For Tuba Techno, I don't know if it meant much or at all, because I think it's quite a collective, fairly democratized, doesn't really have a space. So I think it didn't mean much for that. For me, probably meant more personally, because I just moved out of my house or whatever. But yeah.
Yeah. Talking of democracy, how does it all work? Are there polls? Is there a Facebook chat?
There was some more selective process at first, and there's a couple of us who've been more involved in the curation aspect. Myself, Alex, a couple of other people. But now it's more like a kind of small, stable, just see what they're up to. And then others who kind of slowly, every time there's another one or two people who are just like new to the thing.
Mm.
Always trying to give it to people who just don't have anything else out or are on much. Yeah. I mean, that's the main idea behind it, is just for things that aren't being played live or aren't being heard in other mediums.
Yeah, yeah. So that's, I guess, how do you, is it just by word of mouth? Is it just by friends that you find new people or keep in touch?
Yeah, keep ears out through friends, going to gigs, although I really don't go to gigs much anymore, which is a bad thing.
I think it's a...
It's okay.
Yeah. We've all got Instagram story now.
Yeah. I get the idea. Yeah. Yeah. Probably mainly through word of mouth and seeing what's around Auckland to listen to online.
Yeah. Mm. Let's talk about your song Slug Dance.
Oh, cool.
That features before we can do Slug Dance, sorry, could we talk about the visuals for these compilations?
For sure, yeah.
Who's behind them? Because they're all, like, spot on.
There's just an ethos to them, because every time it's been a different painter. Usually, an early idea we had is just to kind of make sure it's something physical. At the time, especially when we first started doing them, a lot of contemporaries, similar collectives, were doing very electronic art-inspired things, and we just wanted to have physical objects, paintings mainly. And so, being a bunch of different painters, and then I usually do the graphics stuff for it, yeah.
Great logo as well. Oh,
thanks.
Slug Dance. What kind of, like, what was the intent behind this track?
To use some breakbeats. that's pretty much the intent. I had never made a track using breakbeats, and that was my ambition. And apart from that, it was just running it through this VT1 Boss Transformer thing, which I've had for years. I used to use it for my band for a vocal transformer, but actually it's like an amazing thing to just like fuck up sound signals and yeah.
Let's talk about the gear in front of you. So, yes, this Boss situation.
Yeah, the Boss VT1 is a really interesting piece of gear. It was, like, designed for radio DJs, I think, originally.
Okay.
To do comedy sound effects. So it's really good at making your voice go high or low or something like that. And do robot voice or something.
And it's been up for a while.
Mm.
So it preempted all that Aria Roland stuff that...
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. It's just like it was the only thing. I was just like really wanted to find something to change partials and make the impression of pitch change. But most of the pitch transformers I found early on were just actually shifting pitch, which is not good for singing, I guess. Yeah.
And what else do we have?
Then we have Boss delay pedal, just guitar delay pedal. It's cool. It's stereo. It's got a modulation thing on it. There's a vocal bass, makes the bass. There's a Tomcat Akai drum machine. The drum machine and the vocal bass I borrowed off a friend. The set is very much like put together for this to be fun to play.
Oh, good.
Maybe more fun to play than to listen to. We'll find out. But yeah, so I borrowed a bunch of gear for it.
Thank you.
No, my pleasure. And then there's the trusty MPD, which I've had for ages, and it's just a very useful piece of gear.
I was going to say, you've missed a couple of crucial things.
Oh, and there's a Walkman here as well,
which
might enter the mix.
Oh.
We'll see.
And the Jimi Hendrix.
There is a wah pedal. The wah pedal is only here because it's fucking on this guitar effects board with such strong Velcro that I can't actually remove it without a spanner or something.
Yeah.
So it's there for now.
Rock on.
Yeah.
Lee, thank you so much for going to the effort of getting all this stuff together. You've been a big fan of Tuba Techno and your releases for a long time. So, stoked to have you here. Awesome. We're just going to turn the lights on. I'm going to pull Liam's microphone in. If you want to find out more, go to tubatechno.bandcamp.com. Without further ado, this is Lip Gloss Slumber Party performing live in the 95B FM studio thanks to NZ On Air Music.
Thank you. ashamed of his desire. "I don't think you ought to see things like that," he said, making haste to transfer from Lenina herself to surrounding circumstances the blame for any past or possible future lapse from perfection. "But things like what, John?" "Like this horrible film." "Horrible?" Lenina was genuinely astonished. "But I thought it was lovely."
"It was this," he said indignantly. "It was ignoble." "She's a guy. I don't know what you mean. Why was he so queer? Why did he go out of his way to spoil things?" In the taxi, doctor, he hardly even looked at her. Bound by strong vows that had never been pronounced, obedient to laws that had long since ceased to run, he sat averted and in silence. The taxi copter landed on the roof of Lanier's apartment house. "Good night," he said in a strangled voice and made strange, grimacing attempts to smile.
"But, John, I thought you were... Well, I mean, aren't you..."
He shut the door and bent forwards to say something to the driver. The cab shot up into the air. 5 minutes later, he was back in his room. From its hiding place, he took out his mouse-nibbled volume, turned with religious care its stained and crumpled pages, and began to read Othello. Othello, he remembered, was like the hero of 3 weeks in a helicopter, a black man. Bernard had to shout through the locked door. The savage would not open. "But everybody's there waiting for you." "Let them wait," came back the muffled voice through the door. "But you know quite well, John, how difficult it is to sound persuasive with that one's voice. I asked them on purpose to meet you. You ought to have asked me first whether I wanted to meet them. But the arch community sponsor of Canterbury is there tonight," Bernard said, almost in tears. "Aye, how are ya?" It was only in Zuni the savage would adequately express what he felt about the arch community songster. Honey, he added calmly and spat on the ground. In the end,
I'm sorry. Thank you.